It's Friday afternoon, everyone, and we are here around the table with our wine to whine about everything that has been annoying us this week. I am Zane C. Weber, and to my left,
I am Gina Schwartz. Hello.
And to her left,
I'm Andrew Schossler. Let's get things off our chests.
Yes. And to all of our lefts, we have a special guest.
Oh, yeah, no, that does work. Okay, I was very confused. I was like, it's John Starr.
John Starr Anderson. Yay. From Woo. Our friends at Mighty Motion Picture Rangers.
That's me, here to talk about something that's not movie-related.
Not movie-related. Oh, wow. Congratulations.
You mean you have a life outside of your podcast?
I don't, actually. it's from walking from that part of the podcast to this podcast.
I see.
Experiences.
The whole rant is about the departure and how I'll never do it again.
Exactly. Yes.
But you're also an actor and
that's
a
true.
Comedian.
I haven't done comedy in a while. I'll stick to actor, filmmaker,
general
struggling artist type.
So what you're saying is once a comedian, not always a comedian.
Exactly. Ooh. You can fall right out of it in Brisbane.
Wow. Oh. Okay. So what's the cutoff? Is it like 3 months, 6 months, a year?
See, good question. Because I've had people, because I did it for about 5 years and I had people who had done it for a while dropped off when I started and they were coming back when I was leaving. So it can come back, but this isn't part of my rant, but the Brisbane comedian circuit is toxic AF.
Really?
So, is it just because it's so tight? Because it's so small?
It might be it.
Okay.
But it's very clicky and stuff. And yeah, so I took a step back. Most of my friends who are in comedy, who I met through comedy,
yeah,
they have also done the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like the last one to do it. I was like, no, I'll stick in there.
So you didn't stand up?
Yeah.
What was your style?
I always saw myself, not just because, spoiler alert, I'm a transvestite, but more because like the Eddie Izzard style, not observational, but it gets ideas from observational and make them really bizarre. I did a lot of that. And then sometimes I would just do really quick one lines. It depends on, I will tell you guys my favorite joke ever. This is
please,
the best joke
please.
I have ever written.
Okay.
It works a lot better on stage, but I'm never going to do it again. So
all right, well, let's pretend that we're on a stage in an audience and John Starr's on stage. Single mic, red brick wall behind him.
That's it. So I would finish my set and I would go, all right, guys, look, we've had a great night. I feel like we've bonded together, so I'm going to share with you guys my favorite joke ever. Now, I've only ever performed this to one other audience before.
I feel so
they
special.
They hated it, but I've got a special feeling about you guys.
Oh, I am pretty special, so
you
I'll
are,
probably like
you
it.
You are. So I put the microphone. No, actually, you won't like this. I put the microphone aside. I get out a table. Then I get out 50 cups.
50.
I pour water into each cup. Then I get a tea bag and put them in order in each cup.
Okay.
And then I go to the microphone. This has taken about 5 minutes and I go 50 shades of Earl Grey.
Oh.
And then I walk off leaving it all there for the next comedian.
That's not bad at all.
And
to be fair.
I remember when I because I performed it 3 nights in a row once and on each night people come up to me and go, hey, it's a great, that last go, it's really great, but you should just cut it down. Just have it already ready. Saying I'm like, no. It's a bad joke. The funny part is you had to wait 5 minutes for that punchline.
Yeah.
That joke is so bad it made my right eye hurt.
You're welcome. And yeah, so that's the sort of comedy I would do.
Well, nice. By all means, please get back into it. I can't think of a reason why you wouldn't. But on an entirely different topic, we are sponsored once again by the Wine Gallery. Yes.
Yeah, that's their theme song, right?
Soon to be their new theme song. And they have sent us a French wine.
Now, is this our first jaunt beyond the seas?
No, Will, we had our Argentinian.
Yeah.
Quite right.
But that's
why we're going to Argentina.
So it is a red blend called from Château Les Bardelais Rouges in Bergerac, France.
It's definitely French.
Yeah. So Château Les Bardelais is an institution in Bergerac, a region that has lived in the shadow of its infinitely more famous neighbor, Bordeaux, for centuries.
Oh, now I know where it is.
Yes.
Yeah. I can hear the Beaujolais keys rising up with their pitchforks.
In the pocket of southwestern France, where the same Bordeaux-inspired blend of grapes are planted vignerons and grape growers have quietly gone about their business for fine wines that display all the elegance and softness of a French wine is known for. So it is a red blend, so mostly Merlot with some Cab Sav and Cab Franc. So it
should be particularly French.
I'm smelling it right now.
Now, when you say Merlot, you do not mean the type of coffin.
There's a Merlot coffin.
Gina,
what?
Miss Schwartz, how could you?
No, I did not know that that was a kind of coffee.
Yeah, it's a coffee company, so. Right? You know what I'm talking about? No?
Oh wait.
Merlot with an O.
Yeah.
No tea.
Yeah. So this is a Merlot.
Similar, but different.
Very different.
Strong, but wrong.
In the same way that one might say that civic duty is about proper maintenance of your Honda car.
Right.
So I'm smelling this, and it's very smells sweet.
Sweet, do you say?
Do you not get that like real sugary?
I get a very strong Cab Sav smell from it. Which is strange because it's only 1/8 Cab Sav.
Yeah.
These are some words people are saying.
It does taste very different than it smells. A lot drier than it smells. Yeah,
the taste really surprises me.
I enjoy that.
Now, I'm getting pepper.
Yes.
Is that?
Oh, yes. Good one. Yeah. Yes.
So it is quite pepper.
I didn't smell the sweetness, but I tasted it.
It's like, do you know that saying how white people can't handle spice? This is like a spicy wine.
Yeah.
And are you calling yourself a white person, Gina?
Yes.
That's remarkable. I'm getting no pepper or spice at all. It is really remarkably smooth.
I am smelling it and I don't smell this. I smell that sweetness and kind of sharp, but I don't taste sweetness at all.
No.
It's four different tastes.
Yeah.
This is remarkable.
Really bizarre.
Well, this has never happened before.
Maybe it's the blend.
It could be.
We didn't shake the bottle beforehand. That's so it's all settled on the bottom.
The different wines are separated.
Yeah.
I'm sure wines are known to do that.
Definitely.
Thank you to all your wine experts who are tuning in. We know what we're talking about. Well, let's see what the tasting notes say. It's so with each wine from the wine gallery, we get like a little pamphlet that there are sommeliers write out for you. They say it's a very serious wine, a classic example of the Merlot blends from the region. Black fruit with dusty notes,
yes.
Some black plum, but also like a leathery smell.
Ooh, leathery.
And a mix of some tobacco, pepper, cloves.
Yeah.
See, there it is.
I'm getting the leathery. I'm really getting that leathery.
I think that aftertaste, it kind of has a real
I feel like I can taste the black plum, and that's what I'm.
No, I'm having a completely different experience.
Oh wow!
It's a remarkably smooth wine.
Yeah,
and I just taste that slight sweetness to it, but it does have a very potent Merlot. Merlot harshness without the harshness.
So well, with food pairings,
yes, tell me.
Rich savory sauces and rare meats.
Rare meats.
And the recipe that they've given you for is just wild, wild boar ragu.
Boar?
I was going to say just a severed leg of venison slammed down on the table.
How am I supposed to acquire a wild boar?
It's very interesting. In the actual ingredients, it has 750 grams of wild boar.
What?
Or other game.
Oh, so it's venison.
So, what? You know, some venison
kangaroo?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm thinking kangaroo because it's the only meat like we kind of have in Australia that other places don't have. So yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel bad about eating kangaroos.
For two reasons, you should not have kangaroo.
Ooh, oh, tell me.
First of all, it's disgusting.
Okay.
And I agree.
And secondly, and like if game meats have a gamey taste, but roos particularly I find repulsive.
So they have like a taste about them.
Reason one.
Yes.
They're disgusting.
It's awful.
Reason two. Also disgusting. No.
Reason two is that if you make it into a ragu, then you have a roux ragu, and there's no
amazing.
Reason. There's no reason to ever have that alliteration.
I mean,
that sounds like a great basis for a tongue twister.
Roux ragu. I'm going to do it. I already am tripping over it.
Now, I drink this, and I see myself in like a dark library with just a single desk lamp on doing research late at night, just by myself.
Yeah, that's nice.
I have to say it's nice that it has a food pairing with meat, which you definitely wouldn't have. I'm not so sure that having food with this would make it better.
No, I agree.
It's particularly fine on its own.
Yeah, I don't see myself eating with it. I feel just drinking it.
Yeah. Now, this is definitely a wine that you drink a little bit too much of while you're researching in the library, and then you get lost in the stacks and you find yourself back at your desk and then someone else finds you awake.
That's when you have your brainwave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of
course. Having written half of your novel scrawled in the wrong way along the page. That's what this wine does in my head.
No, it's smooth. It's surprisingly smooth.
See, for me, I see myself like going home and I'm having a bad day or whatever, and my mum says to me, "Oh, what's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing, nothing's wrong." And she's like, "Oh, honey." And then she pours me a glass of milk. That's what I feel this is.
I mean, I don't know what it says about us, Gina.
Oh, no.
But when I imagine myself drinking wine, I'm very often alone. And when you imagine yourself drinking wine, you are very often with your mother, which is lovely.
Oh. What does that say?
About you or about me?
Well, to be fair, I'm either like with my mother or I'm alone. So I don't know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have our wine. Thank you again to the Wine Gallery. You can go to thewinegallery.com.au. You can use our promo code glassofwine with an H at checkout and you will get $25 off your first box.
Zane, was that $25 off your first box?
$25 off your first box.
If you're particularly bold, add in a fourth bottle to the 3 a month that is a part of the subscription and they will deliver it for free.
For free.
Whoa. And the funnest part is their flavor quiz.
Yeah, it is awesome.
I wanted to do this on the train over, but I was running out of battery.
I'm yet to take it, actually.
Oh my God, Andy. Get on it.
I will do it and report back.
Yes.
And so they will send you different wines every month, but if you particularly like a wine, you can say, "I would like this every month, please."
Yes.
And they will keep it coming.
That's good.
I don't know what the status is at this point, but they did run out of their 12 Wines of Christmas box, wine box. But that was only for 2 days. They got new stocks in. So at this point, as of recording, it's still available.
Good.
So if you want to get those 12 bottles of wine over Christmas, because we all know what it's like at Christmas. So go to winegallery.com.au.
Yes.
I will.
Now,
trying to figure out what to get my mum, so this is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Hey.
$25 off your first box and free delivery for 4 bottles of wine.
Amazing.
You're welcome, mum.
So, we have our wine, we have our friends
settled in.
It's time to get off our chest everything that's been bothering us this week. And as always, we yield the floor to our guest.
Wonderful, because I've got some things. I've been listening to the podcast and you've kind of got this mantra of people are trash. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I do.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree. But this time I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go for people this time. I'm going to go for something more treacherous.
Animals?
Something that lied to all of us.
The sun?
Technically, people are to blame for this. It's people's humorous for trying to play God. Mm. But something that has pissed me off for almost a year now.
Dolly the sheep.
No, I'm all for Dolly. But you're close.
Oh,
what?
Glow in the dark puppies.
Wait, where are they?
They made glow in the dark puppies like a year ago.
Oh, what?
That's amazing.
No, you're joking.
No, they did. They transplanted. This is such a tangent. I just a chance star. You will get back to it.
That's all right.
They gene splicing. They made puppies that glowed in the dark, and they glowed like a light pink.
Like
in
an actual alive puppy.
Yeah.
What?
But as they grew up, it went away. But the puppies themselves glowed in the dark.
Oh my goodness!
That's the only time you want to glow in the dark when you're a baby.
A bioluminescent puppy.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. What was I saying? Oh yeah, the evil of the world.
It is
R2-E2 mangoes.
Oh, yeah.
And I swear, like, and you know, I've caught some flack for being against these, but I don't see how people like them, how okay, people can you, trust them.
What do you mean? Can you just go into that?
How so have the mangoes wronged you?
So the R2E2 mango is a genetically modified mango.
Okay, I was not aware of that.
Released in 1991. R2E2 means Rotu Experiment 2. I'm pretty sure it's the only one that actually came out from this experiment.
Correct.
I can't remember what the actual experiment was. I tried Googling it earlier today because I swear I remember hearing that it was there. Splicing mangoes with pawpaws to make it bigger, which is so R2E2, they're available everywhere. They are these
they're huge, big ass mangoes.
They can grow up to like a kilo.
Yeah.
They're really big overseas, but they're Brisbane made. Good on us.
I didn't know that. I'm learning so much.
That's what we're here for. But they taste like nothing. And I am cursed with like almost no taste memory. I can go back to something a million times and keep making the same mistake, and I have to make a mental note and get angry about it so I can go, oh wait, these, I don't like these. And R2E2s, because they're so big, I kept buying them for like a year.
They're so golden and pretty.
They look great. They feel great. And if you, there's a website with all like the different statistics of mangoes. They've got their color, they've got their firmness and all this stuff. And
except the taste.
No, it does have taste. It is, and I quote, mild.
Yeah.
Mild.
Which is exactly how I'd describe the taste of it. And it's not the taste I want for my
mangoes. It's the same amount of taste you get in a less fleshy mango spread out over more flesh.
See, that was my theory, because I believe it was Bowen mangoes that they had crossed it with, which are quite small mangoes. And I ate a Bowen mango earlier today trying to test this theory. And yeah, it tasted like a Bowen mango, which is a sweet, mild mango, where it's just that flavor has been spread out over more surface area that...
Now, I might sound like I know a lot about mangoes. This is only because I grew up on the southern end of mango country and...
Mango country.
And I've known people with mango farms and plantations. And R2E2...
I just love your history.
You know, I grew up around mangoes, so I know quite a bit about the topic. No,
I didn't even grow the mangoes. I just absorbed all their knowledge.
R2E2s are grown because they sell better, because they look better. They look big and juicy. Right. And they are big and juicy. They're just not as mango-y as other mangoes.
The window for ripeness on mangoes is so small. It's smaller than
pears.
It's almost... not worth buying one because you're
taking a gamble and you're eating it that day.
Right.
Here's a controversial opinion, but I don't think I really like mango.
Mango ice cream is better than mangoes, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But I just feel like in general they're a fruit that's on mute. You know what I mean? Like, they're not sweet like nectarines, and they're not like, I don't know what apples taste like.
You are having the wrong. Gina, the words tart.
Apples taste like apples.
Because there are mangoes that are very sweet. Me and my wife had one earlier this year, and we don't know. We threw away the little sticker, so I have no idea what they are. Calypso are quite sweet.
Yeah, sorry.
But was it stringy?
Yeah.
I probably a calypso then.
No, calypsos we had this
Send
year
me a sample
as good
of the fibers. I will analyze it for you in my laboratory.
I work in a fruit shop, and I can say calypsos and Kensington Prides are some of our best sellers.
Nice.
Really? Do you sell R2E2 still?
Yes, we do, because they're huge.
They are.
Yeah. I just never try them because I don't really mangoes.
Now, you might say that you're not a mango person. Yeah. I am a one mango a season person.
Ooh. Yeah, that's
if I have
right.
one mango, I will enjoy it. And like Chanstar, I have to remember, no, if you have another one, you will hate mango.
Of course.
Yeah, so one is all I can stomach. And then it's next summer for me.
While we're on the subject, what is the table feel about mangoes in salads?
Look,
about
I'm not
fruit in salads.
I'm not strongly against it, but I'm not for it.
All right.
You know?
For me, it depends on, because I'm a fruit and salad guy. I think that mixing your flavors is really important. You know, you want that sweetness, you want that tartness, you get it all together. It depends on the mango and it depends on the salad. I've had a nice prawn avocado mango salad that my mum made once.
Really?
And those flavors just worked together.
Prawn and mango together?
Yes.
Prawns.
It was a very mild, it was a sweet and mild
Because
mango
I know
taste.
Apricot and chicken and mango and chicken are traditionally paired together as far as fruit and food is concerned.
Yeah.
And I could never get on board with the mango and chicken flavor. That always seemed wrong to me. I've never tried mango and chicken.
I feel like apricot.
Oh, no. If we could delete things from the world.
If you're going to delete anything, it should be avocado.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah,
no, can we?
I'll put it out there.
Just make a blanket statement and delete shellfish.
Shellfish?
Oh, I'm okay with that.
But what about crab?
Yes. Included.
Well, in our attempt to be united,
we have divided the table four ways.
The fracturing begins early this week.
Look what you've done, Charles.
Oh, God.
Never mention mangoes.
Here I was thinking, you know what? I won't bring in people. I will pick on fruit, and I've torn the room apart.
You thought you were being safe, but no one's
really
safe.
No.
All right. Well, is that all the mango?
I don't like the fact that mangoes have seeds either, but that's a whole nother.
Don't worry. They'll breed them out eventually.
Why haven't they? Why did they focus on making big ass mangoes and not seedless mangoes? Anyway,
and why can't we peel a mango like a banana?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, nice. I'd be up for that. That'd be convenient.
I'd love to get to the stage where instead of the mango seed, it's just a seedless watermelon that grows there. A little mini watermelon inside the mango.
Oh, man.
That you can with the rind?
Yes, that you can peel like a banana. And you can just toast that and eat it too if you want.
You've gone mad with power.
I'm pretty sure this is how the R2-E2 was created.
It's just scientists like, what can we do? I know, pawpaw.
All we know is that the R2-E2 was successful. We have no idea what else they were trialing. What other horrible experiments they had on the table.
But no, I am I'm clear.
All right. Like well, that. Has anyone else got a complaint this week?
Not so much a complaint, more of a comment and a discussion again. Bill Murray... That's
how all of our things start, though. It's like, it's not a complaint. I just want a discussion. And then by the end... Yeah.
Well, everyone should die.
Yeah.
I should say, I don't really have the... it'll come out in the story. It's not really a complaint. How would you react in this situation? I went to the Bill Murray concert in town recently. Bill Murray... Famous movie star, of course. So naturally,
who's Bill Murray?
He was in such films as that one
and the others.
Yeah,
he did that TV show once.
He's done them all.
If you saw him, you'd recognize.
Good.
I feel like I'll withhold judgment until I know who this Bill Murray is.
He's tall. Like he's 6 foot tall. Mm. I was arriving at the theater. And just happened to be walking in through the door as he was getting out of his car and walking to the stage door.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Right? Nice. So just glancing over, oh, yeah, that's Bill Murray, whatever.
What?
Continuing on.
Every time.
Bill. You want to go up and say hello, but I know that I would hate that if I was them.
Yeah,
before
I know,
a show, I
know.
Would love to meet people, but just do it after the show. Let me zone in. The strange thing was is that he was arriving for his performance 30 minutes before curtains up. He was arriving at the theater.
Wow.
Now, there's another incident inside the theater, but I just want to talk generally about theater etiquette.
Mm. Yeah.
And are there hard and fast rules? Do you think he's out of line? Like, that seems late to me. That seems like you're putting the show in jeopardy.
Was he a comedy show? What was he doing?
Yeah, because that's my question. Is it a theater performance or is it a, hi, I'm Bill Murray and about?
The show was a concert. He and Jan Vogler, cellist extraordinaire, teamed up with a violinist and a pianist, and they played some classical music, mostly sort of soft jazz and they did some renditions of other hits just with of popular songs just with the music, but it was really just a concert where Bill Murray was singing. Not the strongest of singers, but you just you felt good when it was there. Another show I described him as the fun uncle's house you go to, and it's just a sing along and a concert.
Yeah,
but part of it was also he was reading out interviews with Ernest Hemingway and just Hemingway's account of a particular meeting he had with an artist Passan in France. He read out an excerpt from Huckleberry Finn, and just all these a little bit of poetry as well, just laced over the music, tied in with the music. It was a really nice night. completely unexpected from Bill Murray. Although, if you're a super fan,
not be such a surprise.
You might know that that's exactly Bill Murray's putting Mark Hemingway.
That's exactly right. But yeah, was he leaving it too late, showing up at the theater 30 minutes before his show?
I think he's. Don't us, unfortunately, never had coffee with Bill.
But Bill, if you're listening, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, probably not after what I am about to say. I don't know. I just think that once you are famous and you get all that power and people love you and people are blowing smoke up your ass, I feel like, you know, you are that kind of person that is like, oh, I want 5 puppies and I'm going to turn up whenever I want to turn up. Whereas now, as a performer, I get there early, because I think it's rude and it's like you're not in your headspace 30 minutes before. Mm. And wouldn't you be nervous and rushing and stuff like that?
But at the same time, he's Bill Murray.
Yeah,
the
but that's a bit of a wanker thing to think, isn't it?
No. I mean, the show is not going to start without him.
Yeah,
that is even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are there to see him, so it doesn't matter if he's not in the zone because he's not playing a character.
We don't know that the stage manager wasn't totally aware and that he is meant to show up at that time.
Yeah. So everything's prepared.
He goes on stage like he knows what he's doing. Yeah. Like he is nothing if not a very solid performer.
Yeah, fair.
And if he's touring, like it might just be you need to show up 30 minutes out and then we can start.
Do the thing. Yeah.
Being in the – seeing the show, it felt like it was a passion project for him. Mm.
It sounds like a passion project. Yeah.
Like he put effort into selecting this particular interview, this particular excerpt.
See, I was going to say he might have not prepared at all. You know that Hemingway stuff? He was like, fuck, what do I do now?
Exactly.
I should have rehearsed.
That's also true. They did have a large folder in front of them.
Okay.
And he seemed to be flipping through it quite a bit. So maybe he was just feeling the audience.
Yeah.
And, okay, we'll do this now, we'll do this now. He was talking with the other players quite a bit as well in between songs. But they did 5 encores. They finished the show.
That's too many.
No. It was great. Everybody was sitting there listening to the music. There was a little bit of, he encouraged the audience to sing along and said, you can do better. He complimented Brisbane on having the best acoustics in the world.
That's what they say when they go everywhere.
there may be an element, guys.
Yeah.
When I leave,
he didn't compliment the audience. In fact, he said, "Look, you can be a little bit louder. Come on."
but our buildings.
But the buildings.
Our buildings had the best
top notch, world class. Okay, gripe time.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Inside the theater.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody's sitting. It's probably already starting about 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes after the curtains
hate
up.
That.
The bell has rung, everybody's piled in, everybody is sitting. One gentleman sitting in the middle of my row gets up. Excuse me, I have to go out. Completely forgivable, okay, he's, you know, feeling a bit bilious or he's had an attack or something and he just needs to go. That's fine, that's no problem. I get up, politely let him out, get back into my seat. I know he's going to be coming back.
Mm.
It's already starting late. People are already in the theatre, they've closed several doors, the show is about to start. He comes back with 2 glasses of champagne.
Wow.
Excuse me. I need to get to my seat. Very sorry. Excuse me.
All right. Now, we as a podcast can appreciate the value of wine.
Yes.
At any given event.
There is a time and a place.
So he wasn't going to the toilet or calling his dead mother, soon to be dead.
It may have been his dead mother who wanted the champagne.
Oh yeah, that's just inconsiderate.
No.
That was not right.
Had the show started? No, it
hadn't, and it started within a couple of minutes after he returned.
I feel like he would have been running late. He got there. It's like, I want some champagne, but I'm not gonna have the time. I'm in, and he's sitting there waiting 10 minutes, going, "Fuck, I should have just got."
Possibly. I mean, we had been sitting there about 20 minutes. At that point.
That's because Bill Murray was late.
Yeah,
not necessarily. There may have been other things.
a cascade of puppies coming out of an interdimensional portal.
Oh, I hate.
They were glowing in the dark.
There was
always every show.
There was a part of me that wanted the show to start while he was away, and for him to be locked out.
Nice.
That would have been great. See, I don't go to many concerts. I am very poor. Usually I'll go to a musical theater show because I want a show. I like narrative structure rather than just singing. But one of the only concerts I've ever been to was Pink. And this was, and I will say it was a great fucking show that started an hour late because Pink didn't rock up for like half, and there was also no opening act.
Oh. Wow.
It was
okay.
Just her.
It was just her.
Wow.
And it was a fantastic show. She was doing like shit on a trapeze.
Love
there was
that.
A big blow up doll thing. It was great, except it started an hour late, so I was really frustrated the entire time. My dad was very drunk by the time the show started, so it was probably the happiest I've seen
him. I love
him.
That you went with your dad. That's awesome.
It was like a family outgoing. We were.
Oh, wow.
We all went to see Pink.
That's nice.
And the only other time I can think of, like, celebrities really fucking up our day for being late is I worked on a feature film in Brisbane. I won't say which one, but I'm sure if you do the math, you can figure out which one. Where the star...
Was he quite big?
Wait, how do you mean? Like famous big or?
Muscular big?
No, oh. I did work on that film, but with Paul Giamatti. So now they know it's not The Rock. No, but I worked on this film.
Are you sure it wasn't Steve Buscemi? Stan Tucci, maybe.
We can't talk about Steve Buscemi. And pretty much, I worked on the whole first week of shooting, and pretty much the main actor of the film did not rock up on time ever. And it got to the point that I came back a couple of months into the shoot where they had, when you shoot a film, you have a schedule and a wet weather schedule, which is essentially we'll shoot the stuff unless it rains, then we'll shoot the wet weather stuff, which is usually inside. They had a schedule in case he didn't show up, which we would usually shoot 3 or 4 hours of. And then he'll show up and, yeah, we'd get on with the show.
What was it? You got to tell
look,
me.
Look, I will tell you off.
It rhymes with Lonnie Fepp.
Oh. I was like, what? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and that whole thing was a fucking mess.
God, why do they employ this person?
Why do people
because
keep
employing? Because his name rhymes with Lonnie Fepp.
In his defense, quarantine paperwork is extensive.
I'm slowly shaking my head for those who can't see.
All right. Okay. Good. I'm glad that we finished on the laugh. So thank you again for joining us, Chan Star.
It was my pleasure.
Is there anywhere that you want to send people to find out more about you?
Look, you can find us at the Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. That's Motion Picture Motion Picture Rangers. Oh, God damn it, Shane, you're
nailing it.
Have some more wine. Yeah.
But you can also find me in a feature film, Red Curtain Hell. That's you can find that on Vimeo On Demand. That's vimeo.com/ondemand/Red Curtain Hell. Use Picture Rangers for 20% off your rental or purchase.
There you go.
Oh, hello.
Can I say, Zane, thank you for bringing that up every episode I wasn't on.
You're welcome.
Motion Picture Rangers.
That's what I'm here for.
Ah, excellent. Fill in the gaps.
Thanks. As always, thank you to Gina.
Thank you, Zane.
Thank you to Andy.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And we'll catch you next week for more wine and whining.
Yay.
See you then.
Bye. Bye.